Well, there's going to be a point where there will be wars fought, not just to get, but to defend over oil, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we already are. You know, people ask about, well, when are we going to deal with the ramifications of peak oil? Well, if you are in the military, or if you have a family member in the military, you've been dealing with it for 2 or 3 years now. It's also, of course, affected our economy since, you know, 2000 was probably the peak. But we're already dealing with it. And you're going to see, probably going to see the reinstitution of the draft at some point. You look, the Selective Service got a $30 million bump to its budget for the year 2005. All sorts of other activity going over there. We need oil. We're not going to conserve it. The alternatives are essentially hoaxes. And there's no way for us to get that oil without military force. So that's what the future holds for us.
All right, well, let's paint a scenario, if you would, then, specifically, as we peak. Tell us what's going to happen.
Okay. Again, like I said, we're probably in what's called the oil plateau. Sometime between 2007, 2010, we're going to start going down the downslope. First 5 years or so, again, these are estimates.
And when you say downslope, are you talking about lifestyle or the oil?
Oh, I'm talking about the bell curve. Like,
okay.
Right now, we're at the very top of the bell curve, that flat part where it's flat. And we got to that point around the year 2000. The only reason we haven't had a complete collapse is that we had that recession that brought oil demand down below oil supply. Supply and demand are now in a horse race. And the way our monetary system is structured, if the energy, which we essentially get from oil, if the supply falls below demand, the whole system collapses. So right now, supply and demand are in a horse race, and they're going to stay in that horse race for anywhere between another 2 and 5 years. After that, we head down the downslope of the oil production curve. First 5 years or so, after we start going down the downslope, you're going to see oil shortages reminiscent of the 1970s. The thing is, with the 70s, that what happened with the oil shortages there, we peaked in 1970, and then OPEC decided they didn't want to give us their oil. Now, at that time, there were still other swing producers like Venezuela who could step in and give us oil. What the situation we're facing now is not with a political situation like you had in the 70s. You can use military might, or you can threaten, or you can do all sorts of things. Now we're at a point where the oil shortages are a geologic issue. They're an issue with the earth, and you can't threaten or negotiate with the earth to give up the oil any easier. So the oil shortages that we experienced in the 70s are going to become a continual situation.
Pretty common.
Now the thing is, it's not going to get any better.
Okay, what would your estimate be for gasoline per gallon?
Well, gas is going to hit $3 a gallon this summer. There's no doubt about that. If you look, I live in Northern California, and if you look at if you chart it by month, like February of 2000, February of 2001. Gas has gone up $50%.
It may go up $5.
Very well. The first 5 years of when we go down that slope, it's going to be reminiscent of the 70s. 5 to 15 years later, the recession of the 70s is going to turn into the depression of the 30s. 15 to about 25 years after that, the United States is going to resemble modern day Soviet Union, who, by the way, when they collapsed, one of the reasons is that they hit their oil production peak in 1987, and under Reagan, he didn't allow them to get any additional oil from outside sources.
Now, isn't that ironic?
Then they collapsed in 89, 2 years after the peak. Oh. Now, the entire world now finds itself in a situation like Russia was in 87. So, 5 to 15 years after the peak, so we're talking about 10 to 20 years from now, we're going to see a second Great Depression.
And you won't be talking about $3 gasoline then.
Oh, right? No, it's going up five. So, I mean, I wouldn't even, I don't even want to venture to say, but it's going to keep going up and up and up. The thing is, it's not just gas, though. It's the cost of food. Gas hits $3 a gallon, $6 a gallon, $9 a gallon. That $4 steak is going to hit $8 and then $12 and then so on and so forth. So it's going to cause everything to go up.
Well, and you could then be in a worldwide recession with that because, quite frankly, people won't be spending on other things if they're just getting by with fuel and food.
Very, very much so. And, in fact, you're going to find a lot of people who will have to make a choice. And there's a really weird catch-22. Do I put gas in my car to go to work, but then I don't have any money for food?
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't put gas in my car, I can't get to my job, which I'm already lucky to even have a job at this point. Then I can't get to my job to buy food.
Or do they say, well, here it is, it's Saturday night, I'm not going to the movies tonight because I can't afford it.
Right. Well, see, that'll be a little, I'm thinking of just quote unquote the average American. I don't really know if there is an average American, but sure, first couple of years, you know, we tighten our belts. But it's a situation where you can only tighten your belt so much. And then pretty soon you're losing so much weight from not eating that you really do have to tighten your belt. You know, it's no longer a figure of speech.
What about the possibilities of riots, disturbances, massive amounts of deaths because of the stress caused by this and or wars because of this?
Very, very high. I mean, the riots and civil situations. If you want to know why the Patriot Act was passed, the real reason is that when food production, when the cost of food soars and people can't buy food, what do people do? They riot. And the only way when you have the entire population experiencing that, or very, very large segments of the population, you need to institute a fascist-style police state.